You know, what we heard earlier in the sermonette about watching and seeing what we're about, you know, ready, the time of the end and how that's going to be coming about. I just saw in the news that Chancellor Merkel has now proposed to have an army of the EU, with Germany basically overseeing it, and that Britain is furious about it, and they're saying they don't want to be any part of it, and they don't want to give the Queen's armies to any European army. So this bears watching, is to see how this all develops. And, you know, we are, as we're all aware, celebrating the time of Christ's return, and we're a year closer to that time. 57 years ago was my first holy day, and it was the Feast of Trumpets. People came all over from Illinois and Indiana and Wisconsin and Michigan to keep the day holy, and what impressed me the most was the amount of food that was available. And I had never seen anything like that, with that amount of food. You know, farmers would bring things in from downstate Illinois, and after that meal, it was sleepy time for all of us. And so we're keeping it kind of cool in here, and we're trying to keep it somewhat interesting. So before you drift off to sleep, just give me a few extra minutes here, and want to answer a question about the coming coming reign of Jesus Christ. I have here a piece of iron, thanks to John Brunick, and it's used to, if you could pick it up, to remove rocks from fields, and it's used for digging holes. And it's very difficult to raise with one hand, and some were kind of kidding, are you going to put your back out by trying this? And no, I'm going to watch that, but it's difficult. It is very heavy. And it's hard to keep up with one hand. This we would call a rod of iron, would you say, maybe? It's very heavy. If you want to try it afterward and pick it up, you'll see how heavy it is. And now some are wondering, well, why do you have this today? What's this for? What does this represent? What does this have to do with the Feast of Trumpets? Well, let's notice Psalm 2. Psalm 2 and verse 6. Psalm 2 and verse 6. Ouch. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. And you will break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now the allusion here that is stated is, this is the Messiah as the reigning triumphant king over the nations, and he is going to be subduing them. But we find this statement here, you shall break them with a rod of iron, you shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel, is found also in Revelation. So let's look at Revelation 2, verse 26. Revelation 2, verse 26. And this was to the church in Thyatira. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. And this is the quote from Psalm. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. It should be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels I also have received from my Father. The idea here is that not only Jesus Christ, but the redeemed will be associated with Jesus Christ in this dominion of ruling with a rod of iron. But what exactly does that mean? What does that phrase mean? And that's what we'll be exploring in the sermon this afternoon. Let's notice two other places where this is found in Revelation. Revelation 12, verse 5. Revelation 12 and verse 5. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. No, that's referring to Jesus Christ. So a description of how Jesus Christ will reign. We also see this in Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 14. The armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, following him on white horses. Notice now verse 15. Revelation 19. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He has his name on his robe and on his thigh, a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Once again, a statement that Jesus Christ will rule with a rod of iron. Now the Greek word for rod is rhabdos. R-H-A-B-D-O-S, rhabdos, and that can be translated into either a staff or a scepter or a rod. Now, we see this also mentioned over here in Hebrews 1, and we see in this particular place the word rhabdos is translated differently than what it is here in Revelation. Let's look at Hebrews 1, verse 8. Hebrews 1, verse 8. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter, same word, or rod, of righteousness is the scepter or rod of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And that's even more of a statement from, actually, you look back to Psalm 45, verse 6 and 7. Psalm 45 and verse 6 and 7. That's the quote that the author here in Hebrews is using. What we find, the word here, whether it's translated scepter or rod, symbolizes authority. Authority of the one who has it, or the ruler. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 21. Hebrews 11, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning on the top of his staff. So there's another English word translated from that word. This is something that Jacob leaned on when he blessed his children. So whether it's translated a rod or a staff or a scepter here, it was all symbolic of authority. Now, most of us are familiar with the stories of Moses and what he did with the rod and the staff that God gave to him. Let's review just a couple of those stories. Let's look at Exodus 4, verse 1 to 5. Exodus 4 and verse 1 to 5. Moses answered and said, but suppose they won't believe me or listen to my voice. And they'll say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So this is an interesting question. What do I do if the Israelites don't believe me? And the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? He said, a rod, a staff. Remember, he was watching sheep and the goats there for his father-in-law. What do you have? And he said, well, it's a rod. And God said, cast it to the ground. He put it, threw it to the ground, and it became a serpent. Moses fled from it. And we don't know what kind of serpent. There was an interesting YouTube video out of a what was it, a python against a cobra there in, I think, Singapore, and had it on YouTube, how they were, each snake was fighting one another. These are powerful snakes. The Lord said to Moses, you reach out your hand and take it by the tail. That took courage. Go grab the snake. And he grabbed it and it became a rod back in his hand. God says that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to you. Now notice verse 20. Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. The rod that God said you cast down, in Moses' mind, became the rod of God, symbolic of authority and of power. Let's look at Exodus 7. Exodus 7, verse 8. Here they come before Pharaoh. Moses is 80 years old and Aaron is 83 years old. And he's told, when Pharaoh speaks to you, show a miracle for yourselves. You shall say to Aaron, take the rod and cast it before Pharaoh. Let it become a serpent. So they did so, as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Pharaoh called his wise men and sorcerers, so the magicians of Egypt did with their enchantments. Everyone threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod, and now notice how the definition changes a bit. What do you have in your hand, Moses? It's a rod. Moses says, this is the rod of God. Now we find that same rod is Moses' rod, Aaron's rod. Aaron's rod swallowed up all their rods. So what Aaron's rod, staff, swallowed up all the other snakes. Unbelievable miracle that took place at that time. Of course, Pharaoh's heart turned against Moses. Sometime later, there was a challenge. There was a challenge about who was in charge of Israel. There were some that came out of Reuben. There were some that came out of other tribes as well, saying, we have just as much authority as this here Moses and Aaron does. And that boiled God, got him very upset. So he told them, we're going to have a test here. And notice what he said over here in Numbers 17. Numbers 17, verse 1. Numbers 17 and verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and get from them a rod from each of their father's house, and all their leaders according to their father's houses. 12 rods, one rod from each tribe. Write each man's name on it. And you shall write Aaron's name on the rod of Levi. There'll be one rod for the head of each father's house. Place them in the tabernacle of meeting before the testimony, and I'll meet you. And it shall be that the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom. Thus I will rid myself of the complaints of the children of Israel, which they make against you. So Moses spoke to the children of Israel. Each of their leaders gave them a rod apiece. There were 12 of them. He placed them in the tabernacle of witness. In verse 8, came to pass on the next day that Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi had sprouted. It's a wooden staff, a wooden rod that sprouted and had buds and produced blossoms and yielded ripe almonds. Not only did it bud out with flowering, with flowers, but with ripe almonds. Moses brought out all the rods before the Lord to look at the children of Israel. They looked, and each one took his rod. And the Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron's rod back before the testimony to be kept as a sign against the rebels, that you may be put to their complaints away from me, lest they die. So Moses did so, and that rod ended up in the Ark of the Covenant. I remained there for many, many years. So God verified that he was working with Levi, verified that he was working with the family of Aaron. Now let's look at Psalm 110. Psalm 110. The Psalm of David. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord God is saying to his Lord, the one that is the Word at this time, sit at my right hand. The Lord will send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of enemies. So God is... This is a prophecy long before by David that the rod of Christ's strength will come out of Zion and he will rule. And Christ will be established as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the rod that Christ rules with is symbolic of God's authority. It is iron. You can't really bend iron that much. I mean, you could with all kinds of type of machinery, but it's not easily broken. It's not easily destroyed. It's symbolic of strength and might. Because we know that Jesus Christ, when he returns, is not going to be accepted, as we heard earlier. And there will be a battle against him. And he will be challenged. Verse 5. The Lord is at your right hand. He will execute kings in the day of his wrath. He'll judge among the nations, shall fill the places with dead bodies and execute the heads of many countries. So we know that Christ is going to fight against those who come against him. But this means that he has a rod of his strength that will endure. Christ won't be defeated, even though there will be a battle. He will not be defeated. We go to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. Starting in verse 3. Zechariah 14 in verse 3. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. In that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from the east to the west, making a very large valley. In verse 9, the Lord will be king over the earth, all the earth. In that day it shall be the Lord is one, and his name is one. And that's what we're celebrating, as we've heard already, what this day pictures. The seventh trump, Christ is going to return. He's going to fight against the enemies who try to attack him. We see that he will reign over all the earth. Christ will not back down, and he will put down the defiant ones. Just as Moses and Aaron were given a staff, a rod, in which it was symbolic of their rule and God's rule through them, we see that Christ is using that rod as a symbol of power and authority that will last and not diminish. Christ will deal with the wicked in a very firm manner. It's not going to be pleading. It's going to be, thus says the Lord, you do this or else. This is what Barnes' Notes of the Bible says about ruling with a rod of iron. To rule with a rod of iron is not to rule with a harsh and tyrannical sway. We never see Christ ruling in any way like that, or God ruling in a harsh or tyrannical way, but rather with power that is firm and invincible. It denotes a government of strength, one that cannot be successfully opposed, one in which the subjects are effectually subdued. As the vessels of a potter, the nations will be broken into fragments. That is, there will be no power to oppose his rule. The enemies of his government will be destroyed. And instead of those enemies remaining firm and compacted together like a potter's vessel would be, the nations are broken like a clay vessel when it is struck with a rod of iron. And I thought his explanation was pretty good on that. Just imagine if Christ came back today without the strength and power to enforce God's law. What would result? What would happen? Who would even listen to him? He would be accused of being judgmental, unfair. You're not being kind. You're not being loving. Jesus Christ has to come back with power. He has to come back with might and strength. Hence we see this statement throughout the Bible. He will rule with a rod of iron. Some time ago, I heard a commentator mention that she was not going to allow the Christian right to dictate how she lives. Now, even the Christian right is not right. I mean, we all think, oh, the Christian right is right. Well, when do they meet? Are they keeping trumpets or are they keeping Christmas? So there's a lot of flaws in the fact that the only right religion is the religion of God and of Jesus Christ. If Christ didn't come with the authority to put down the wicked, the wickedness would continue to multiply. The rod of iron will not bend. It will not be broken. It will not be diminished in any way. Let's look at this psalm, Psalm 125. Psalm 125. Psalm 125 and in verse 1. This is one of the songs of ascents going up to the feast. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion that cannot be moved but abides forever. Mount Zion cannot be moved. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. If the rule of the wicked did not cease, then the righteous would be induced to sin. And that's what happened with Israel coming into the land of promise. They did not get rid of those that God said get rid of because they will lead you into sin. They will lead you into wickedness. So Christ will rule with success and with righteousness will prevail. Now let's think about this for a moment. Let's go further. Once Christ does put down all evil, which he will do, and once there is peace and cooperation on the earth, will Christ still rule with a rod of iron? I want to read something from the pulpit commentary. The rule over the nations is to be strong, but it is to be loving also. To those who obey it, it will be a shepherding. To those who obey Christ with the rod of iron, it will be a shepherding. Only those who resist it will be dashed to pieces. It's precisely the same expression as used in Revelation 7, verse 17. Let's look at that. Revelation 7, verse 17. Revelation 7, verse 17. For the Lamb who's in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to the living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. He will shepherd them. A shepherd used a rod and a staff. Here we see Jesus Christ shepherding his saints. With this in mind, let's look over to Ezekiel 20 and see what else a rod portrayed. Ezekiel 20, verse 33. Ezekiel 20, verse 33. As I live, says the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out, I will rule over you. This is talking about the returning Israelites into the land. I will bring you out from the peoples, and I will gather you out of the countries where you are scattered. With a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of my peoples. And there I will plead my case with you face to face. So Christ is going to deal with Israel, and he's going to plead with them. Just as I pleaded my case with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, I will plead my case with you, says the Lord God. I will make you pass under the rod. I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge the rebels from among you, and those who transgress among me, I will bring them out of the country where they dwell, but they shall not enter the land of Israel, and you will know that I am the Lord. God is not going to allow any rebels to come into the land. But he's going to have the rod over Israel as they come back. I will make you pass under the rod. Now, to pass under the rod was a symbolism of protection. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you safe. And he's establishing Israel with a covenant. And you're going to pass under my rod, which we know is a rod of iron. In this case, Jesus Christ, with a rod of iron, is going to be shepherding and protecting them. You know, a shepherd would use his staff or his rod to count the sheep. And every tenth sheep would be the tithe and would be dedicated to God. As he held out the rod over the sheep, he would watch the sheep. And if he saw any sheep that were sick or whatever, he would be checking the health of the sheep. He used it as a protection of the flock to keep out the lions and the bears. And that's how Jesus Christ is going to continue to rule. We find this over in Micah. Let's look at a couple of prophecies in Micah. Micah 6. We'll start there. Let me see. It's right after Jonah. Micah 6, verse 9. Micah 6, verse 9. The Lord's voice cries to the city, wisdom shall see your name. Hear the rod. Who has appointed it? Notice chapter 7, verse 14. So here we're told, hear the rod. Who's appointed it? Well, we know God's appointed it, and Jesus Christ is going to be the king with God's authority. Chapter 7, Micah 7, verse 14. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your heritage who dwell solitarily in the woodland in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in days of old. As in the days when you came up out of the land of Egypt, I will show them wonders. He's going to lead Israel and be with Israel and protect them. Verse 18. Verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us, will subdue our iniquities. So he's there to look upon us and have mercy and compassion. He will cast off all of our sins into the depths of the sea. You give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. These are prophecies that we see how Jesus Christ is also going to rule with the rod of iron. He's going to put down his enemies, and not one enemy is going to come up against him and succeed against Jesus Christ. But in the same token, he's going to make sure that those who are obedient and the Israel that he calls into the land He's going to have His mercy. He's going to have His compassion. He's going to have His protection. Let's look at Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 10. We'll just look at a couple places here in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 and verse 10. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and with His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. That's encouraging, as what we heard earlier today. The reward is with Him when Jesus Christ returns, but He is going to come with a strong hand. And He'll feed His sheep, His flock, like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. It's encouraging. Here's Jesus Christ, who has this rod of iron in which no wicked man can overcome, and yet that same rod of iron is going to be used to protect and to take care of His people. And He's going to feed His flock. He's going to gather everybody together. He's going to gently lead them. Verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. So God is going to strengthen those. He's going to encourage those who look to Him. And as we saw in Revelation, we're all going to be part of this ruling with Jesus Christ as He rules with a rod of iron. But we also see we're going to be strengthening and encouraging people. It's reminiscent of what we find over here in Psalm 23. This is a famous psalm, Psalm 23. This is memorized by a lot of people. This is oftentimes their prayer. The Lord is my shepherd, shall not want, meaning I shall not lack. Because He's going to make me lie down in green pastures. He's going to lead me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. And notice, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. I'd say, wouldn't we rather be under a rod of iron that won't break, and that we know Jesus Christ is going to hold it over us and guide us and protect us, and to know that we can have comfort in that rod, His rod, which is the rod of God and His power. It's not going to be broken. It's not going to yield to any wickedness. I think all of us would rather have that instead of a wooden staff that could be burnt or broken. So Israel will rely on Christ and His leadership. He will rule with equity and with justice. And He'll comfort those who yield. Before we conclude, see, short sermon. Didn't give anybody time to fall asleep. Before we conclude, we've got a few other scriptures we want to look at. Let's look at Revelation 11. Revelation 11, verse 1. John was told to do something when he received a vision. I was given a reed like a measuring rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. Leave the court, which is outside the temple. Don't measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they'll tread it. They'll tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And it's right before he talks about giving power to the two witnesses who will be preaching for 3.5 years. John was to measure the temple and those who worship there. According to Expositor's commentary, this particular verse means to measure here is not a prelude to ruin, but a guarantee of preservation and restoration. Jameson Fawston Brown says, like a rod, measure like a rod, namely straight, like the rod of iron, unbending, destroying all error that it cannot be broken. It is a rod of straightness, a scepter of righteousness. Now, Gill's exposition of the Bible says this, this temple, that is, the body of the temple with the altar and a small company of good men who truly worship God, do now remain, whom God sanctifies and confirms by his presence. Measure therefore this, even this true church. And that's according to Gills. I find it interesting that when you look at this, and this is right before the two witnesses are given their power in verse 3, you see that the temple of God and the altar and those who worship there are to be measured with this measuring, like a reed, like a measuring rod. And it had a certain length of the measure to that. I'm sure we all are aware of the fact that we are called out, as we heard earlier, and what God has given to all of us, his truth. But judgment is on us. We have a responsibility to obey God now, and in a similar manner, our actions are being measured by God and what we do with what we've been given. As we look to the fulfillment of this day, which we all look for and we hope comes soon, how are we living? How are we living? Are we coming under the rod of iron now? Are we yielding to the rod of God now? Are we fighting against God and not yielding like we ought to? It's a question only each of us can answer, and each of us have to evaluate in our own lives. Let's look at Jude. One chapter in Jude, let's start in verse 14. Jude 14. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. All of us here hope to be among those 10,000s of saints with Jesus Christ when he returns and we are changed into spirit in the first resurrection. And our job will be to rule with Jesus Christ. And we too will be given authority. And we will be correcting the wicked. Even as we heard earlier, the incomprehensible, how do you judge angels? What's that all about? We'll find that out when we're changed into spirit, what that's all about. But the point is that we must also be comforting those who are obeying God. We're in training for that awesome responsibility. Where do we stand in relationship to God as he's measuring us? You know, we all talk about love, which is true, and God wants us to have love. But how much love do we have among our own congregation, where we all know one another? We all can talk to one another. I think we need to continue to improve. I think we need to continue to realize that all of us are going to want to be part of that 10,000 of his saints, and all those 10,000 of his saints are going to get along and are going to really encourage and help one another. Verse 20, Verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We're building up our faith. We're to be praying regularly. We're to keep ourselves in the love of God and looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. This is the Christian life, and we need to be exhibiting it in our daily lives now. See, in the future, Jesus Christ is going to return and present God's law as the absolute manner in which we're to live. This is the law, and it will be observed. There will be no appeals. There will be no judicial acts to overturn God's law. It's all symbolized by the strength of the rod of iron. It will not be bent to conform to human reasoning. Rather, human reasoning will be bent and conformed to God's ways and God's laws. Verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God is able to keep us from stumbling. That's why we need him in our lives. We can't do things on our own. We need him. We need him to help us. And he'll present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, by glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. See, eventually, this day, when it comes to pass, is going to be one glorious day for all of us to be able to rule with Jesus Christ and for the world at last, where there will be absolute peace and harmony. This day is the beginning of those future events. This is what is portrayed today. It is symbolic of the beginning of these future events. We're actually 1 year closer now than we were last year, and we pray these prophecies come to pass soon.